In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Saint Peter and Paul.
Pray for us.
Saint Thomas Aquinas.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Fatima.
Pray for us.
Blessed Jacinta.
Pray for us.
Blessed Francisco.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Good morning. So I'd like to ask you a question. What does ASAP mean? No, always say a prayer. Amen? You like that? You have to change the acronym, right? See, a lot of religious nuns here, so I have to tell a couple of religious nun stories and we'll dive into Fatima. There was once a community of religious nuns, and the oldest nun was 95 years old. She was a religious for 70 years. And she was known for her holiness of life. But she was in the infirmary, and she was close to her end. And one of the sisters went to the kitchen and brought her something to drink. It was warm milk, and she pushed it away. So the sister went back to the kitchen and put a little bit of milk in, but then put 90% of whiskey in the mug. So all the younger sisters and the postulants and novices were there, aware of this wonderful drink that was about to be given to her. So the sister went from the kitchen, brought it in, and she smelled it. She started to drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. She drank it to the last drop. So one nun said, "Sister, before you die, give us some words of wisdom." She said, "Under no condition should you sell that cow." Well, I got a lot of nuns here. I'm going to be giving it to you, huh? I've got a joke for every occasion, huh? This one I heard from an Ecuadorian Franciscan nun about 25 years ago when I was giving retreats in Chile. Not the Chile that the Mexicans eat, but the country. Sister Cook complained because the food was disappearing. So she complained to Mother Superior. She said to Mother Superior, "There's some nun that's coming in here at night and absconding with the food without your permission." Mother Superior said that couldn't happen because all these nuns are very mortified, they're very obedient, they would never take anything without any permission. So after a week, the food was just disappearing, and Sister Cook said, "Mother Superior, we don't have enough food. Some sister's coming in and taking food without permission." So Mother Superior said, "Okay, I'll hide in the kitchen after the lights are out at 10 o'clock and I'll see, but I think you're wrong." So at 10 o'clock she hid there in the kitchen behind the refrigerator. So 10 o'clock, nothing. 11 o'clock, nothing. 12 o'clock, nothing. At 1:15 in the morning, the oldest, holiest nun, Sister Matilda, came sauntering in. She opened up the refrigerator and Mother Superior's watching her, scandalized at this conduct, and she was filling her pockets with food, stuffing her face with food, stuffing her other pocket with food, And Mother Superior was scandalized. And she said behind the refrigerator, "Be careful, be careful, be careful. I am the devil." She said, "Thanks be to God, I thought you might be Mother Superior." You didn't know that I have a degree in English Lit, Philosophy, Theology, and Jokeology. How about that? Not bad, huh? One more? Okay, there was a man who never got married, so his best friend was his dog. He loved his dog. One day he came home and the dog was dead. So he was just crestfallen. So he was a good practicing Catholic, and he went to the pastor and said, "Father, my dog died. Could you please offer a mass for my dog?" And the priest had a degree in canon law and said, "According to canon law, you cannot offer masses for animals." The man said, "Well, it was a great dog. He didn't bark, he didn't bite. He was just a great dog." And the priest said, "No, we cannot do it. Canon law forbids this." "Please, Father, we can't do it." So he got up and he started to walk away and said, "Well, Father, I was thinking of giving you $50,000 for the Mass." He said, "Come back, I didn't know that your dog was Catholic." You hear the religious that want to be a Trappist? And they could talk once a year. So when first time after the year transpired, said, "Food bad." The next year, "Bed hard." Third year, "I'm gone." And the Father Superior says, "Doesn't surprise me. Ever since he came here, he would always be complaining." So we want to give thanks for this wonderful day in which we can be trying to encourage each other to grow in holiness through these wonderful talks. And they asked me to give a talk on Fatima. Now, once I heard this, I felt that there's such a gold mine of material on Fatima that I felt like I was in a huge ocean and I didn't even know where to start. Because really, you could give a whole series of talks for 8 days on the topic because it's so, so rich. So I invite all of you this year to try to study Fatima in greater depth. I invite all of you because, as you know, Pope Francis invites all to celebrate the 100th anniversary because this is the 100th anniversary of Our Lady's apparition in Fatima in 1917. So I've made a New Year's proposal to really try to get to know Fatima better and better. And John Paul II, St. John Paul II, when he was shot in 1981, I was studying in Rome at the Angelicum to become a priest in 1981. It was May 13th. John Paul II. We know that he didn't die in 1981, but he almost did die. And he attributed his being saved from dying in that moment to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And if you read the book Witness of Hope of George Weigel, maybe you've heard of that, there's a good chapter where he really explains how he really believed it was, the evil was strong, but the hand of the Blessed Virgin Mary was stronger, that she actually deflected the bullet so it wouldn't kill him. That was May 13th, 1981. Now, where was John Paul II December 24th, he was in the jail there, visiting Willy Acca, the guy that tried to kill him, giving him the gesture of forgiveness. Where was he 1982, May 13th? He traveled to Fatima. And you can see beautiful photos and YouTubes of John Paul II kneeling down in front of Our Lady Fatima with his rosary touching Our Lady Fatima, thanking Our Lady Fatima. Then he did a gesture that probably most of you are aware of. He got up and he placed something in the crown of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Any of you know what it was? It was a bullet that was in his stomach that was extracted that he actually placed in the crown. Now, I haven't been there to see it, but Father Larry, my superior, said he saw it, and it's not as small. Some of you maybe saw it. It's a big bullet. So I think that we're surrounded today by so many other dangers. Not to mention the cholas of Wilmington, okay? Or Hawaiian Gardens, huh? That are surrounding us, huh? We're surrounded by many, many enemies that want to do us in. So now more than ever, we have to consecrate ourselves to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Okay, the focus of my talk is just one aspect of it. And what I'd like to talk about is, I want to talk about Jacinta. So 75% of my talk is going to be talking about Jacinta. Okay, just that you're aware of this, a very, very quick summary of what happened in Fatima. Then I'd like to focus on Jacinta. All of you know who I'm talking about, right? Blessed Jacinta, that was beatified by JP2, right? May 13th, year 2000, she was actually beatified with her older brother, Francisco, by John Paul II. Okay. A very, very, very quick summary, okay? Fatima, part of Portugal, during the time of the First World War. Our Lady decides she can appear to three little shepherd children. Two of them are siblings, Jacinta and Francisco. Last name is Marto. Okay, they're associated with their older cousin, Lucia de los Santos. Okay. I think for us to understand what happened in 1917, something happened in 1916. Okay, these shepherd children had a vision of an angel. And the interpretation is basically this could have been the guardian angel of Portugal that appeared to them. Now, I'm not going to go through it in detail, but she taught them, the angel taught these three children how to pray, what words to say, and the posture of prayer. Okay? Taught them how to pray, the words. And I invite all of you to try to learn those words that the guardian angel, basically the words of adoration and reparation, okay? So the different sentiments of prayer should be adoration and reparation. And their posture was to prostrate themselves on the ground. Okay, the apparition, there were three apparitions. Now the last apparition is one of the most extraordinary apparitions in approved private apparitions, in which the angel appears and suspended in the air is the host and the chalice. And then the angel tells the children to take the host and the chalice. Lucia consumes the host, and the other two take from the chalice. So these children are receiving Holy Communion from the angel. You can meditate upon that, an hour meditation on that one point. Receiving communion from the angel. And the fact that the two younger ones took from the chalice was what? An indication they were going to suffer and they're going to die shortly after the operations. Within 2.5 years, they'd already be dead. First Francisco, then Jacinto. Okay, there's a rapid summary of 1916. Okay, then in 1917, the children, they're shepherds, they're uneducated, and what they do, they go out to tend the sheep, and then they play. And they pray because they have to pray. Okay? Their parents say they have to pray. So they had to pray the rosary. And out of obedience, they would pray the rosary. And I'm not going to recommend that the religious pray the way they prayed it, because they would pray the rosary like this. Our Father, Hail Mary, 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 glory. Our Father, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. So if Mother Superior says, pray the rosary, don't pray it like that, okay? They would do it just to get it done. So there's no real fervor, just some perfunctory function that had to be carried out under obedience. No? Cutting corners though, right? Okay, 1917 is the key year, and we're celebrating the 100th anniversary. Okay, the children have an apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it starts May 13th. Okay, it's going to be, okay, Fatima, Guadalupe, Our Lady, appeared 4 times. And the 5th time, you might say, to Juan Bernardino, okay? Okay, Our Lady appeared in Lourdes 18 times. In Knock, Ireland, just once with St. John the Evangelist. But in Fatima, she can appear 6 times. On the lucky number. What's the lucky number? 13. She purposely appeared on 13 to prove that there's no such thing as lucky and unlucky, I think. I really believe that. We have any New Yorkers here from New York? I'm going to speak like a New Yorker. If you go downtown New York, you're going to find some buildings that have 12 floors and the 14th floor, but there's no 13th floor because that's bad luck. It's stupid. But it's true. You go to New York and you find certain buildings that have, they don't have the 13th floor. If people believe there's going to be bad luck. Friday the 13th. So a lady appeared 13th. She appeared on 13th on May, June, July, but August she didn't. Why? Because the children were in jail. Okay? The government pulled them aside and told them to retract the fact that they'd seen this lady. And they wouldn't retract. So she appeared a few days later in August. Okay, what I'm going to focus upon is just one of the operations. That I remember when I was a little child, all of us have different exposures to the Blessed Virgin Mary. When I was brought up, my mom had a big statue of Our Lady of Grace. Maybe you've seen Our Lady of Grace, where she's standing on a serpent. With the serpent has the apple in his mouth. I remember as a kid, 5 or 6 years old, that kind of scared me to see that serpent with the apple in his mouth. No. And later I'd understand the whole idea of the Proto-Evangelium, Genesis chapter 3:15, and Mary, God would use as Mary as a means by which the head of the devil would be crushed. However, I remember as a kid, my mom introduced me to Our Lady of Fatima, and I was just fascinated by that. It was just, there was a grace there. I was just captivated by the story, And when I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, exposed to the apparition I'm going to talk to you about, basically I think I went through a conversion when I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. Not that I was a cholo or anything like that, no? From that time on, I really took my spiritual life seriously as a child, and it was the apparition of July 13th. So I'd like to give you a brief summary of that and point out to you how Jacinta was converted by that. Not that she was a bad girl. None of them were bad. They were all good. But God didn't want them to be good. God wanted them to become saints. Amen? Yeah. Good was not enough. God wanted them to become great saints. Among the youngest saints in the Catholic Church, aside from the Holy Innocents and maybe St. Tarsus, but very young. Which means that children can become saints. You work with children, they can become saints. If we form them well. That was the devil. Okay, so a lady appeared May 13th, then June 13th on the feast day of St. Anthony, right? And then a lady appears on July 13th. Okay, this is what happens. She appears, opens up her hands, and tells the children to look down. And they see a very graphic, vision of hell. If any of you have ever studied Dante, the Divine Comedy, very much like that. Of course, Dante has 33 cantos, right? 33 different circles. But it's a very Dante-esque, very real depiction of hell. The children saw this for a relatively short time, but it changed their lives. Okay, what did they see? Imagine you're going down to the ocean, or going to the sea. It was like a sea or an ocean of fire. And amidst the flames, they could see other things, among which were souls that were condemned to hell. Now the way they depict this was they saw some souls that were transparent. You see through them. Others were bronze, somewhat toasted. Some were a little bit dark colored. Others were brown, and others were pitch black. And they're floating around without equilibrium. Best image I've gotten is, imagine a helium balloon, or you see little kids carrying balloons, they're blown by the wind, okay? So imagine that, they're being tossed around without any balance, gravity, or equilibrium. And some of the souls were transpierced by these ugly animals. Ugly, hideous, unknown animals that these children had never seen. And these animals were torturing these souls. Who are these animals, do you think? These were the devils that were torturing the souls. Now that would be, in the application of the senses of Ignatius, that would be the sight. Now, with respect to hearing, they heard shrieks, cries that were horrifying. And the children said this, that if the Blessed Virgin Mary were not there, they would have died. of fear. That would have killed him. Now, all of us know that over the past 50 years, the church has suffered a lot. And one is because of liberalism that's contaminated the church, especially after Vatican II, past 55 years. And one of the tendencies of liberalism is to deny the reality of hell. Right? Some of you have met people that say, you know, they say is this, if God is so good, how could he send anyone to hell? You ever hear that one? Theologically, it's not totally erroneous because God doesn't send anyone to hell. Who goes to hell is the person that freely chooses to go there by his own choices. Some of you, how many of you have read the Diary of St. Faustina? Do you remember 741? 741 was what? Faustina's vision of hell, which he gives the six different sufferings in hell. And then, what does St. Faustina say? And there's some caverns where certain souls were placed because of the sins against their senses. And she makes this closing comment. Very interesting. She knows that those who were condemned to hell were those who denied the existence of hell. Very interesting. So Jacinta, Francisca, and Lucia had a vision of hell. Let me ask you this. After this, did they have to go to a psychologist for trauma treatment? Did they have to take antidepressant pills? Did they lose their faith? On the contrary, after this graphic vision, they were converted. Now the modern liberals say, don't talk about hell, because it doesn't exist. Much less if you talk about hell to little children, you don't want to frighten them. I was exposed to this 7 or 8. Excuse my New York English, it scared the hell out of me, but it helped me, no? I went through a conversion when I was exposed to that. So did these children. So the point I'd like to make now is this. Jacinta is now going to be a model for the whole world in her willingness and readiness to sacrifice and suffer for the salvation of souls. I was reading the talk that John Paul II gave in the Osservatore Romano this morning on the beatification. And a lady appeared to Jacinta at the end of her life and said, are you willing to suffer a little bit more? A little bit more. Live a little bit longer, suffer a little bit more to save souls? And she said, yes. So Mary appeared to her afterward and said, are you willing to even suffer more? And the little girl said yes. Said yes. Okay, now, why was she willing to suffer and to make sacrifices? Primary reason was because she loved God. I repeat, primary reason was because she loved God. And I'm making a pitch because all of us have to be willing to offer up sacrifices. St. Faustina says, how can you know a holy religious? The willingness to suffer for souls. That's St. Faustina. Her willingness to suffer for souls. So if we love God, then we should love what God loves. What does God love most in this world? The salvation of souls. Why did Jesus come to the world? To save souls. Why did he die on the cross? To save souls. Why did he shed every drop of his blood? To save souls. That's the purpose. The purpose of Jesus is coming. Some of you have heard of Fulton Sheen. Have you?
Yes.
Fulton Sheen says the best definition of Jesus Christ, there are many titles, would be, of course, what? Savior. Of all the titles of Christ, it's the most important title, Savior, because he saved us from what? From hell. He saved us from the reality of hell. So if we love God, we should love what God loves. God loves souls. Okay, given that it's the feast day of St. Thomas Aquinas, I could not possibly give a talk today without mentioning something of St. Thomas Aquinas. We studied with them for 6 years, okay? Okay, Thomas Aquinas gives a definition of love. What is the definition of love of Thomas Aquinas? It's willing the good of another. Great definition. Willing the good of another. What is the summum bonum? Some of you speak a little bit of Latin, huh? What is the summum bonum? What is that in Latin? What is the greatest good? What is the greatest good, my friends? The salvation of souls. So if we really love God, we're going to love what God loves, the salvation of souls. Some of you have done the spiritual exercises. Have any of you ever heard of the spiritual exercises? You ever hear of Princeton Foundation? Man is created to praise God, reverence God, serve God, and by means of that, to what? Save his soul. So Ignatius puts it this way. The two principal duties of man are to praise God and to save his soul and save other souls. That's St. Ignatius. Okay, so what I'm going to do now, next couple of minutes, I'm going to go through all the different sacrifices that Jacinta went through. Undertook. And don't forget, this is a little girl. She's only about 9-10 years old. She has no formal education. But she has a very good teacher, and that is the Blessed Virgin Mary. For me, that's good enough. What about you? That's good enough. Having Mary's teacher, being in the school of Mary, being under the protection of Mary, being under the mantle of Mary, being in the heart of Mary, that's the best place to be, right? And she takes us to the heart of Jesus, right? Mary was her teacher, and the best of teachers. Now, just so you're aware, whatever Mary says, it's always going to be echoing what Jesus says. You hear that? Last words of Mary, wedding feast of Cana, right? John 2, verse 5. Do whatever he tells you. Pretty good advice. What do you think? Not good advice, the best advice, huh? Best advice in the world was what Mary said at Cana. Do whatever he tells you. Okay, let's go through these sacrifices. And don't forget, these sacrifices are done out of love for God and love for souls. Salvation of souls. Okay. If we had to classify Jacinta and Francisco as modern psychologists would, okay, Francisco would be considered an introvert. Jacinta would be considered an extrovert. You know what those are, right? Jacinta was very, she was an extrovert. She loved life. She loved people. She liked to dance. She liked to laugh. She liked to play. She loved games. She loved friends. She was an expansive, typical extrovert. Her little brother was the exact opposite. Her older brother was the exact opposite. He just liked to be by himself to pray and to think about God. But they're both saints, right? Variety is the spice of life, right? Okay, let's go down the list of her sacrifices. Okay, number one. Do any of you people like to eat? How many people here like to eat? Half of you raise your hand because the other half only understands Spanish, huh? ¿Cuánto le gusta comer aquí? Ah, más manos, huh? We all like to eat. Okay, think right now. What is your favorite food? I personally like Italian food. Kind of loca tiene su tema, as they say, right? Huh? We all have our favorite. The favorite food of Jacinta were the luscious grapes of the fields. She loved grapes. Guess what she offered up as sacrifice? The grapes. And eating nuts and berries and the things from the field. You might say to yourself, well, big deal. Okay, try to imagine tomorrow that you give up your favorite food until you die. Maybe some of you like coffee. Okay, starting tomorrow, no coffee. For me, that'd be very difficult too. I like a cup of coffee. Fulton Sheen says, never go to your holy hour without first taking your first cup of coffee, right? Fulton Sheen, okay? He's venerable, right? So. Okay. So think about this. She was willing to sacrifice the food that she liked best. Next. Any of you like sports? I certainly do. I played university baseball at Villanova. I didn't play basketball because they're too small. No? Good team though, huh? Amen? No? The Augustinians, huh? Well, Jacinta didn't play basketball or baseball, but she loved to dance. Not the exotic dances at the cantinas of L.A., okay? But simple, honest dancing. She gave that up. Now think about that, giving up her favorite food, her favorite pastime. And don't say big deal. That was hard. Let's move on. Do all of you like comfort? I remember I used to teach a confirmation class in my confessional because there was no room in the other part of the church. We had so many confirmation students. And I'd put 10 cold metal chairs and 2 comfortable sofas. Guess which chairs the first 2 boys took? That's called original sin, huh? It's called original sin. And I would rebuke them. You guys are selfish. Why don't you take the other chair? Well, Father, first come, first serve. Okay. Okay, what about discomfort? Jacinta, what did she do? She, as well as Francisco and Lucia, put a rope around their waist. And the lady approved of that, except at night. She said, take it off at night because I want you to be able to sleep at night. Hey, easier said than done, huh? And why? Why? Love of God and love of souls. We love God, we love what God loves. What God loves is the salvation of immortal souls. She always had this in mind. I am offering this up for the salvation of souls. She would never get tired of offering herself. And John Paul II, when he beatified her in the year 2000, May 13th, beautiful day, you know, first year of the new millennium, May 13th, he said that little Francisco was a little mystic, whereas Jacinta was a little victim soul. If any of you study the whole concept of a victim soul, Padre Pio, right? Josefa Menendez, the little flower, Alexandrina Acosta, okay? These are victim souls. And don't forget Jacinta, she's only 10 years old. She didn't even know what victim soul was, but John Paul II, in his discord, called her a victim soul. We have a few priests here. What is the best definition of a priest? For me, it's what Fulton Sheen says. The victim who offers up the victim. For me, that's the best. Many definitions. Alter Christus. But the victim who offers up the victim, can you go beyond that? So we are called to be victims, small letter in Jesus, victim in capital letters. Let's move on with other sacrifices. Now the sacrifice I mentioned now I think would probably be the most difficult. They would go off to the fields, tend the sheep, they'd be there the whole day. When they were on their way, they met children that were poorer than them. You know what they did? They gave them their lunches. Now, I think that'd be tough, because I'm sure they had a very frugal, simple breakfast with their parents before they headed off for the fields, and maybe an abundant one. But spending the rest of the day basically without eating anything, that would be, what do you think? Pretty tough. But they did this for love of souls. And I have to keep reiterating that. If we love God and love souls, it becomes easy. The Curia of Ars says, fasting is hard at the beginning, then it becomes easy. St. John Maria Vianney. Starting off is difficult because of original sin. But once you've got the spiritual momentum, you've got the spiritual inertia, the energy moving on, the Holy Spirit does the work. We just have to say yes. The Holy Spirit does the work. We have to be docile, wind in our sails, let Him push the boat across the lake. Let's move on to other sacrifices. Another sacrifice by means of a little story in their lives. There they are, they're out in the middle of the summer, and they're basically dying of thirst. Hot, it's humid, blistering heat. And Lucia says, hey, well, you know, if you want, I'll go to one of the neighboring houses, and I'll see if I can get a pitcher of water so we can slake our thirst. And Jacinta and Francisco said, well, go. So she's able to fetch a pitcher of water. When she arrives, Jacinta says, pour the water in the ground. Can you imagine that? I cut grass in New York and New Jersey in the summer heat. I play baseball in the summer. Hey, California is the best weather. Any of you ever lived in, been in New York or New Jersey in the summer? Or Philly? No joke, huh? So I know a little bit of what they're talking about. Going through a day without drinking anything, obviously the doctors would say that you're crazy to do that, but they were inspired to do that because they had a hunger and thirst for souls. What is the charism of Mother Teresa? Any of you ever go to the convent of Mother Teresa? I've gone to various countries. I thirst, right? I thirst right over the tabernacle. And what is the charism of Mother Teresa? To slake the thirst of Jesus in the poorest of the poor. The fourth vow, right? Fourth vow is to serve the poorest of the poor. Now that's tough. Have you ever suffered thirst? Maybe a day, and then you were out there in the wilderness, there was simply no water, and because there's nothing to drink. And when you finally found Gatorade or whatever, and you drank a gallon, huh? So they purposely did that to save souls. Now, okay, this is embarrassing now. I'm a priest, may have been already 31 years, so quite a few years. No? And religious even more. I think I try to offer up some sacrifices. But if I compare myself to Jacinta, is the same Spanish, me da vergüenza. If I compare myself to her, I'm embarrassed. St. Ignatius, what is the fruit? Pedir vergüenza, to beg for shame. I feel I'm ashamed. She goes way beyond what I do. And maybe she goes beyond what you do. Or maybe you people, or maybe here with a group of a lot of saints, you probably go way beyond Jacinta, but I doubt it. Shouldn't she motivate us as priests, as religious, to be more generous with God? What do you think? Hello? Anyone home? For me, it's an embarrassment. I love Jacinta. But whenever I think about her, I'm embarrassed. And I pray to her. Jacinta, give me a little bit more generosity. What's the word of Ignatius? The magnanimity, huh? Magna anima. Great souledness, huh? So hopefully, none of us are going to be leaving with desolation, but a great desire to save souls. An imitation of this little girl. There's still more. Remember I told you that she would pray the rosary. Pray the rosary. Our Father, Hail Mary, 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 Gloria. Now, she would pray the rosary, but guess how? She'd say the full rosary. And more than once. And many rosaries. In other words, these children could not say too many rosaries. Now on this I'd probably beat you. I usually pray 3 or 4 rosaries a day. I'm pretty busy. I usually pray 3 or 4 a day. When I was coming here on the way, guess what I did? Rosary, chaplet, angelus, angel of God, we prayed to A lot of saints, no? We did that the whole time. Why not? You got 20 minutes in the car? Pray. My car was a portable chapel. It is. So they would pray the rosary. And by the way, Our Lady appeared 6 times. Every time Our Lady appeared, she said, pray the rosary. 6 times. Pray the rosary. So Jacinta would pray many rosaries to save souls. Now what I do, this is my private practice, every Hail Mary, a soul will be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Good idea?
Yes.
Not good, but excellent, right?
Amen.
And Jesus said to St. Faustina, bold confidence. And when I'm doing that, Jesus is saying, now every Hail Mary, 1,000 souls. Okay. Why not? Why not? We receive little because we ask for little. When I celebrate Mass, okay, pray that this Mass will save 1,000,000 souls. Why not? I'm a sinner. But the holy sacrifice of the Mass is what? It's Jesus who offers himself to God the Father, begging for our salvation. So as religious, we get to tap into the energy we have. Tap into it. There's so much spiritual energy, and we just tap out a few drops. The spiritual energy is the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, all the other oceans put together, because it's God himself. And God is infinite, limitless. Another sacrifice. After several apparitions, their children were badgered and pestered by the people. And they patiently offered up these people that were bugging the heck out of them. You ever meet people that bug the heck out of you? Hello?
Yeah.
Well, practice charity. Practice charity. Smile at that person you don't really like. What is the Pope saying, the joy of the gospel? None of this. I live in Argentina, so this is a typical Argentinian expression. Cara de vinagre. Cara de vinagre. Any of you? Cara de vinagre. Not too many of you speak Spanish. Cara de vinagre means vinegar face, okay? So they willingly accept these people that were pestering them. Let me tell you another sacrifice. We celebrate the martyrs. I was talking with the other priests at the breakfast table about this. Do you remember in August of 1917, Our Lady did not appear on the 13th? And I told you why. Because the children were there in jail. Maybe some of you have seen the old movies where they're about to be not simply thrown in jail, but they're being threatened to be thrown in this cauldron of burning oil. And they drag Francisco in. Then Jacinta enters. And then Lucia enters in the door, and the two little ones are still saved. It was just a threat. Don't you think that they could almost be given the palm of martyrdom? I've thought about this for many, many years. They're willing to die, to be burnt in this cauldron, rather than to deny that they saw the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is real heroism. Okay, so I have much more to say, but I'd like to conclude with Is there a time limit here? It should be done in about 5 minutes. That's what it should be. Oh. 5 minutes? Okay. I'd like to conclude with one idea. So you've heard all the sacrifices. Now, we're getting close to Lent, which is a little later this year, March 1st. What are you going to do, religious, priests, brothers, seminarians, lay people, what are you going to do to save souls? And this is a challenge. It's a challenge for myself because I say, I look at Jacinta and I am embarrassed because I see this little soul, and with all the education we have as priests and religious, this little soul that is much more generous than I am. But I'm not giving in to discouragement because I believe that God is a God of second chances, right? God, every day, gives us chances to love Him more and more and more and more. So I invite all of you here, to pray today to Jacinta, to Francisco, pray to them, and to Lucia, and beg for the grace to be generous with God. Beg for the grace to become great saints. We're all called to become great saints. Beg for the grace, as the little flower said, to deny Jesus nothing. Pray for the grace to work hard in this life. Saint Alberto Hurtado, a Jesuit priest, said that there are two places to rest, the cemetery and heaven. Okay? Saint Alberto Hurtado, a Jesuit priest that died in 1951. Two places to rest, the cemetery and heaven. So I conclude with a personal anecdote. A few years ago, I was taking a walk, and I noticed that there was a black bird in front of me. And that black bird did not take flight. So I thought at first, maybe I'm really Franciscan in disguise. Maybe I have this latent charism that's flourishing in my latter years. No? But it didn't fly, not because of any innate Franciscan charism that was becoming manifest, but because the crow had a broken wing. And I had a thought. In the spiritual life, we have to have two wings to fly high. And those two wings are a fervent, dynamic prayer life. You have to have that. Either a fervent and dynamic prayer life, and also we have to practice penance. We have to learn how to say no to self, to say yes to God, and yes to the salvation of souls. So I'm going to pray that all of you will be like that bird, not with one wing, but two wings. That all of you will fly high, soar high into the heights of heaven in your life, but you will bring hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of souls with you. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. So what I have here is I write blog articles, and we're going to be giving you two blog articles on Jacinta. Okay, so the Jacinta would be the sacrifice that she made, and the second would be the subsequent messages that Our Lady gave to Jacinta afterward that I didn't have enough time to go through. Hopefully you'll be able to read these and not use them for your birdcage, okay? Okay. I published my first book by Sophia Press, So Outside. There's a few books if you'd like to buy one of my books, my first book actually. Okay, so God bless you.
Well, thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
You gave earlier this prayer triptych, Our Lady Fatima. This is an icon, My Immaculate Heart Will Triumph, that was written by